In honor of the three kings, tonight's sermon is in three parts. Part one is freely borrowed from an epiphany reflection that my husband William gave to a high school student assembly a few years ago. He shared it with me this week in case it proved helpful with sermon prep. But frankly, as you know, knowing William, its eloquence and simplicity simply cannot be improved upon. So I offer it here to you. Yesterday was the 12th and final day of Christmas. Today is the Feast of the Epiphany, which celebrates the coming of the three Magi to the Christ child. The Magi, traditionally called kings, but actually astrologers, believed, like all ancient people, that the stars provided relevant, important signs. Traditionally, the three Magi are portrayed as representing the three ethnicities of all the peoples of the earth to highlight that Jesus had come as the Messiah, not just for the Jews, but for all people. God's all-embracing love is for everyone. The gifts of the Magi, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, had mystical meaning. Gold symbolized Jesus' kingship, frankincense, his divinity, and myrrh, a sweet-smelling resin used to preserve corpses, portended Jesus' death. All three gifts of the Magi express their epiphany of who this child is and what he is destined to do. Epiphany, from the Greek epiphanein, entails a sudden realization, a moment of enlightenment, when an inner meaning rises compellingly to the surface. So the Magi pursued a perilous pilgrimage, which they believed would culminate in their discovering the deep meaning of the cosmos. Yet the star led them to a humble babe in arms. How could it be that the star led them to a helpless baby? Could this possibly be what they thought they would find? Would or could this child give their lives purpose? This is the epiphany that struck them. God, who comes to us in the humble, in the vulnerable, in the fragile, assumed a human nature and became a man in the form of Jesus Christ. This humble, vulnerable, fragile incarnation shows that the real reign of God is the self-giving love that makes us vulnerable. The truth is that there are epiphanies of the love of God for all of us. It matters not what the nature of our faith journey happens to be. God finds ways of revealing and manifesting his love for us. Consider how God manifests his love to you, and how you could manifest such love to all whom you encounter. Identify what acts of kindness, however seemingly small, you could offer as a gift. In so doing, we would transform the world and bring the inner meaning of the cosmos to the surface. May it be so in this new calendar year. The second part of tonight's sermon is also not mine, but I have always wanted to do this on the Feast of the Epiphany, to read T.S. Eliot's poem, Journey of the Magi, in its entirety. So if you like, you can close your eyes and just listen, or follow along with the insert in your bulletin. A cold coming we had of it, just the worst time of the year for a journey, and such a long journey. The ways deep and the weather sharp, the very dead of winter. And the camels galled, sore-footed, refractory, lying down in the melting snow. There were times we regretted the summer palaces on slopes, the terraces, and the silken girls bringing sherbet. Then the camel men cursing and grumbling and running away and wanting their liquor and women, and the night fires going out, and the lack of shelters, and the cities hostile, and the towns unfriendly, and the villages dirty and charging high prices. A hard time we had of it. At the end, we preferred to travel all night, sleeping in snatches, with the voices singing in our ears, saying that this was all folly. Then at dawn, we came to a temperate valley, wet below the snow line, smelling of vegetation. With a running stream and a watermill beating the darkness, and three trees on the low sky, and an old white horse galloped away in the meadow. Then we came to a tavern with vine leaves over the lintel, six hands at an open door dicing for pieces of silver, and feet kicking the empty wineskins. But there was no information, and so we continued and arrived at evening, not a moment too soon, finding the place. It was, you may say, satisfactory. All this was a long time ago, I remember, and I would do it again. But set down this. Were we led all that way for birth or death? There was a birth, certainly. We had evidence and no doubt. I had seen birth and death, but had thought they were different. This birth was hard and bitter agony for us, like death, our death. We returned to our places, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease here, in the old dispensation, with an alien people clutching their gods. I should be glad of another death. This final part of the sermon is mine. In years past, on this Feast of the Epiphany, I have focused, as we all do, on the arrival of the three wise men at the manger, just like we see at our creche here this evening. Their gifts, the fact that they represent the Gentiles, the non-Jews, having an encounter with God and being gifted the good news right from the start, so that we might know that Christ is for everyone, everywhere. But tonight my thoughts are on the journey, on the going there. This melancholy tone of Eliot's poem almost gives you the sense that they regret having made the trip at all, despite the fact that the narrator says, "And I would do it again." Because what happens is when they arrive at journey's end, they finally comprehend that the deep mystery of the cosmos is the love of God. It courses through everything in a mystical yet palpable way. And just like those three magi, once we know this, we cannot unknow it. And that knowledge of the love of God both transforms and ruins our lives. Because before, in the old dispensation, the old ways of being, we could be careless, eat sherbet given by silken girls, or whatever your equivalent of that is. We could revel in our ignorance of the deep truth of the cosmos. We could clutch our alien gods of selfishness or self-betterment or what have you. But now, having seen God manifested in this Christ child, and having known the love of God through others in our lives, we can no longer pretend ignorance. Like the Magi, our former palaces that once brought us pleasure, we now know are an illusion. And we become dissatisfied with anything less than epiphany and transformation through God. Because we have made the journey. We have seen God's love. The journey of our own life, the sad things that taught us sacred lessons, the joyful things that revealed divine love. And so with that same grateful regret of Eliot's Magi narrator, we too should be glad of another death glad of the death to our old self that comes when we visit the Christ child and realize how beloved we are of God, and we strive to live up to it. But glad, too, of the death that may one day release us from such great responsibilities as these. You know, it is an awesome privilege to be a priest. On this Feast of the Epiphany, I performed last rites for a parishioner with family gathered around, weeping and laughing early this afternoon. And I received a text from someone who's been admitted to the psychiatric ward of a local hospital asking for a visit. And I intended to see Father Clark and celebrate the 50th anniversary of his priestly ordination at his hospital bedside, but he wasn't feeling well enough to do so. It is a gift, and we're all priests in our own way. We have these moments. It is a gift to be with someone in these intense life moments, but it is both and awful and awful. Such is the gift and burden the Magi returned home with, and their life was never the same again. Such is the gift and burden we carry who love God and follow Christ. May you be touched by the holy dissatisfaction that comes from seeing God manifest in your life while charged with making manifest the same.